This is the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Discover how to enhance your reputation as an attorney and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.
Good afternoon to our listeners. This is Tracy Murda on behalf of Richard Jacobs here at Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast. Today, I have a very special guest, attorney Alfredo Lozano, the founder and principal attorney at Lozano Law Firm in San Antonio. Alfredo specializes in business and family-based immigration law, and today we're going to hear his personal story and some of the interesting things that are kind of happening in our country right now and throughout immigration law. So I'd like to welcome you, Alfredo. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you have a pretty interesting story. You yourself are a first-generation American and son of a Mexican immigrant. Tell me a little bit about your own background and what first led you to practice in immigration law in the first place.
Well, I was born and raised here in Texas in San Antonio. My parents are immigrants. They're from Mexico. So, growing up, we got to travel. They would take me to Mexico a lot. And at an early age, obviously, I started exploring other languages. And then eventually, when I was in the military, I got to travel to Korea, Japan, and other cultures, visiting other cultures, learning other languages. And then soon after that, I was back in the States. I was going through college and then eventually law school. And in law school, immigration had caught my attention. There was a great immigration professor. And through him, I eventually did also a internship with a consulate, with a Mexican consulate in Houston, and it was their protection division. So that's where I started seeing a lot of the immigration issues that were happening. My first job after that was actually not in immigration. It was defending insurance companies. And ironically, I wasn't back in San Antonio. I was working out of Corpus. A good buddy of mine tells me, hey, they're looking for an immigration attorney out of San Antonio. Are you interested? And I kind of blew it off. I said, no. And then he says, hey, I spoke to this attorney again. He wants to interview. I'm like, well, I'm not looking. We eventually interview each other, and he offers me a good, substantial pay raise. And at that time, I had my first child. We were married, trying to buy a house, and it was bringing me back to San Antonio. And I started working with this immigration attorney, and all I did was deportation, and I loved it. I loved it from the very beginning. And prior to that, when I was actually doing insurance defense, I had to hire an immigration attorney because it was difficult understanding all these forms, understanding the processes, the rules. And this attorney that I hired didn't do a very good job of explaining. So once I started going out on my own, once I went out on my own, I noticed a trend of immigrants, and not just family-based, but even employers having a difficult time having someone explain to them how it works. And ever since 2006, I've been practicing immigration law and became board certified, and I've got a law firm here in San Antonio, Texas, and we're doing good.
Let's talk a little bit about the current political environment and kind of firestorm that we live in now. Associated with the undocumented people in the U.S. right now, specifically in Texas, I think we see it a lot more here. Tell me a little bit about what's happening.
At a state level, Texas passed a law called SB4. So starting September the 1st, there will be a mandate where local police must investigate the immigration status of someone when they stop them. And if the person is, or if the officer believes that they're not in status, they have to call ICE. They have to call immigration. And it hasn't been implemented as of today. We already see one of the horrible effects that the immigrant community, and I'm not just talking about undocumented, but I'm also talking about people that are legal here, now have a fear of calling the police when they witness a crime or when they're part of a, you know, when they're the victim of a crime. So right now, the political system or the firestorm here in Texas is not good. And at a national level, with the news and everything going on and the Trump being built, I mean, the wall being built and promoted by Trump, I think within the undocumented population, there is a lot of fear. There's a lot of worries. I was just interviewed by Fox News not too long ago, and I said something that will probably make everybody wonder why I'm saying that. And what I said there was Trump is good for immigration. Obviously, they cut the remaining part of my statement, which was I don't agree with him. I don't agree with a lot of the things that he says or does with immigration. And unfortunately, they cut all that off. Hopefully, you don't do that. So hopefully, you'll keep it here. But, and the reason I say that immigration and that Trump is good for immigration is he's forcing us to have this conversation. Immigration did not break last year. It didn't break 2 years ago. It's been broken for many years. And unfortunately, you know, politicians on both sides of the aisle, they've been finger-pointing. You know, no one has taken responsibility to really sit down and try to fix the system. And ironically, it's not a system that has to be completely undone. I think it just needs to be tweaked. And I think we would have a great system. But right now, the way I see it, he's forcing us to remove the blinders, right? The blind spot, and forcing us to talk about it. And hopefully on both sides of the aisle, they should be able to come up with a good solution.
I'm not going to lie. I had to read that a few times when I saw that statement. I went, wait a second. What? Okay. I got you. No worries. We'll keep it intact here. No problem.
Yes, thank you so much.
What, Alfredo, tell me or tell the listeners that, what is the Deferred Action Childhood Arrivals Program? Tell me kind of what's going on with that and what Trump's intentions are with the program.
Yeah, that's been on the news recently, specifically in Texas and in California, where one of the somebody that did have deferred action, they were deported, and currently there's a federal lawsuit. So what DACA is, it's basically, it's a program that was passed in 2012, June the 15th, and to sum it up, it basically states the requirements are that if a child came to the United States before the age of 16 and before 2007, and if they graduated high school or they got their GED or they're currently in school or they're working to get some type of degree, it could be also from a technical college, the government would issue you a work permit, an EAD. With that work permit, then you can apply to get Social Security. And then with that Social Security and the work permit, you can then get your driver's license. What a lot of people don't understand is the billions and billions of dollars that was created in taxes given, and all of that obviously is going back to the government. Whereas before, yeah, you were 20 years old or you were 19 and you've been here since 10 and you're working and they're paying you in cash, right? They're not, there's not a system to deduct your taxes. There's not a system to withhold FICA and all of these monies. So when people talk about DACA not being good, as soon as I show them the numbers financially, how it helps the economy and how many companies actually have DACA students or persons with the status, you know, the money talks. The story changes a little bit. So it's a great system. As of today, Trump has not ended it. He has mentioned and talked about it. The Republican Congress, they were looking at creating another, of doing away with DACA, but replacing it with a very similar program, very similar, just a different name. And I think it was just to get credit for it.
Okay. Tell me about the I-9 forms and their significance, again, especially considering that the Trump administration has increased the number of agents looking into all these programs.
Yes, I-9 was, so what's an I-9, right? The I-9 form is a document that an employer gives to an employee. They have to fill it out. And it basically, that document and that process validates that that person is legally, that they're legal to work here in the United States. They have to show and demonstrate certain documents to the employer. The employer needs to sign off on it. The employee needs to sign off on it. And recently, what we're seeing with the Trump administration is we're seeing more audits. So about 5 years ago, these audits were actually happening with the Obama administration. And the way the audits occur is you've got an ICE agent, an investigator on one end, and then a criminal, someone that's looking at on the criminal side, going to employers, speaking to the HR managers and asking them for copies, doing a subpoena and getting copies of their I-9 and auditing them. So if they didn't fill out the form correctly, they're going to get fined. I had a client not too long ago. He got fined $170,000. I think it was about 100 workers. All those workers, they were U.S. citizens or permanent residents. No one on his payroll was illegal. However, what caused the fine was that the forms were filled out incorrect. So a lot of people think that the fines are automatically due to an illegal workforce. That's not true. In certain industries, yes, it's more common. The landscaping industry, the restaurant industry, the construction industry, where we do see that more common where they do have an illegal workforce. But, we'll see what happens here in the next 12, 14 months. As these agents start, ramping up their audits and inspections, I think we're going to see it more on the news. So, for those employment attorneys, labor law attorneys, or that do tax law, that work with corporations, it's so important that they have a conversation with their clients about the I-9s and making sure that they are filled out correctly, that they're being recorded correctly. That's the best way to help your client employer. To have those documents in place just in case they get audited.
So, Alfredo, who should be concerned about all of these issues going on right now?
Well, the I-9, I would probably say those employers that tend to hire. I-9 is everybody, right? Because whether, all your workforce, if you're in an industry where all the workforce is legal, it doesn't matter. You still have to fill it out incorrectly. But I think where there's more problems or more exposure is those industries where they do tend to hire. They do tend to hire a workforce from other nationalities where, yes, they may be legal, but they didn't fill out the I-9, or they may be illegal and they're presenting false documents, false green card with a false social security number. The employer or the HR manager, they're not experts on those documents. They're not supposed to, the standard, they have to look at it. It has to look real. It has to look legit, obviously, if you've got a work permit or you've got a document with the wrong name or the wrong picture, then that you're on notice, right? Something's going on. The other issue with DACA, I personally would tell DACA students or DACA recipients to start looking for other avenues of becoming permanent residents, right? I've had some DACA students or DACA recipients where, they got comfortable and they're like, well, I'm okay with DACA. I don't need to do anything. And I'm like, wait a minute, you qualified to do this. You should do this. And they're like, yeah, I'll do it later, right? I'll do it later. The problem is we don't know how long DACA will be in place. Today it's in place. What if they take it away 12 months from now? So for those that have DACA, they got to do something if the opportunity exists. And then, here in Texas, if you've got clients here in Texas that happen to be undocumented, refer them to, a local attorney, immigration attorney, or any part of the nation, so they can get counseled on how's the best way they can protect themselves. What are their rights? What are their obligations? What should they say? What should they not say? So I think there's a lot of, you know, this is a marketing podcast for attorneys. I think there's a lot of opportunity for attorneys, whether you practice immigration or not, to be able to give and help your clients that might be in one of these situations.
Well, and that brings up a big point, which is what can the experienced attorneys such as yourself do to help people with their DACA or their I-9 status? What, you know, talk about maybe a few different stages that someone's coming to you, whether it's, you know, before anything's happened, during something happening, or even after the fact.
I'll give you a good example. A DACA client that I had not too long ago was renewing their DACA. And, you know, we asked certain questions. One of the questions that we ask is, hey, were you a victim of crime? You know, were you a victim of crime ever since, you know, you were last issued your DACA? In other words, were they ever assaulted? Were they ever robbed? Did anything ever happen to them in the last 12 months or 14 months or whatever? And this client said, I don't know, you know. And so it caused us to kind of stop the process and bring him in and say, hey, let's talk about this. What you put here, I don't know. After speaking to him, we did find out that he was robbed at gunpoint at work. And that actually opened up another door for him. It opened up the U visa. So the U visa are for victims of crime. And because he was participating in helping the police in this investigation, he definitely qualified for this U visa. So what we did was we started the U visa for him. Finally, it was approved. And now within the next, you know, he needs to stay on the U visa for 3 years, but eventually he's going to be able to become a permanent resident. So the big difference there is U visa and permanent resident, that is written in the law. DACA is not. DACA is very discretionary. So, if you've got a client, let's assume you're a criminal attorney or a PI attorney, and you've got a client that's on DACA, you know, you can ask them those simple questions to say, hey, I noticed that, you were in a fight here. What happened? You know, and they arrested you. Well, no, I was a victim. They beat me up. You know, they did, but police came in and just arrested everybody. Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Maybe we should have an immigration attorney in this conversation to see if you qualify for something, right? You know, a PI attorney, I had a client, same thing. And this person was bitten by a dog, was walking down the street. A dog pit bull bites him. Ambulance gets there. The police get there. The police filed charges against the dog owner because this was not the first time. So now it qualifies as a criminal activity. So now this person, and this was a PI case. It started off as a PI case. The PI attorney brought it to me and says, hey, this guy was this is what happened to him. So even though he had a PI case going, I come in and now we're applying for a U visa for him. I think it's important that attorneys don't, we're all experts in our areas, but we ask more questions, we get more information, and we just be more curious about how else can I help this person? You know, what else can I do for him, you know, or her? You know, what else can I take off your plate? I think that's very important. And I think what you'll do is you'll give more value to your client and you'll really be able to show the value to your client, you know, and it'll lead to more business, more referrals.
Absolutely. That's 100% true. So Alfredo, if someone, be it an attorney, be it someone going through, you know, any immigration issues themselves, would like some more information, what's the best way to reach your office or what's the best way to contact you?
Sure. My local number here in San Antonio, Texas is 210-932-3600. Or better yet, I've got two URLs. If you speak Spanish, it's quieromispapeles.com. So that's for those that don't speak Spanish, that's a standard, not a standard, but I would say that's a saying within the Hispanic community that says, hey, I want my papers. So I also bought the URL and it says, iwantmygreencard.com. So those for the Spanish speaker, they don't ever forget quieromispapeles.com. And for the English speaker, it's pretty easy to remember, iwantmygreencard.com. And yeah, we take cases all over the United States, whether it's a business case or a family-based case. For deportation cases, we just focus here in the local market in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was actually my next question was, although you're based in the San Antonio area, for some specific cases, you can handle anything nationwide.
Yes, for immigration, we do handle, I've got clients out of California, New York. So yes, whether it's an employment base with an employer seeking to help an employee or bring somebody in, or if it's a family base nationwide, we can do it. With today's technology, faxing, electronic signatures, and everything else, it could be done.
Awesome. All right. Well, I appreciate your time today. This is Alfredo Lozano of the Lozano Law Firm based in San Antonio. But again, Alfredo works on cases nationwide. I appreciate your time. And this was some really amazing information. I'm sure it's only going to continue to fester and grow in terms of the issues that come up. So we look forward to maybe checking back in with you in a couple months and seeing where things stand.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you so much. And yeah, I tell all my clients, we're in a tornado right now. You know, let's just, you know, stay away from the news and it'll get better.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Alfredo. Take care and definitely best of luck to everyone. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Call 888-225-8594. Or email rj@speakeasymarketinginc.com to enhance your reputation and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.